You're listening to the Movement is Medicine Show, a podcast hosted by Head to Toe Spine and Sports Therapy, a modern chiropractic and manual therapy practice in Edmonds, Washington. Now, let's get into the show. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Movement is Medicine Show. I have Dr. Lee here today. Sir, how are you doing?
I'm well, Barry. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. And we have a special guest. We have Dr. Angela Yeagley in the house.
So great to be here.
So great to have you here. And today we're talking about headaches. And we're going to get into it from a couple different angles, right? We're going to talk about it from a kind of from a structural standpoint, and then we're going to talk about it from a medical naturopathic standpoint.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where should we dive in?
I mean, I would love to just hear, like, the naturopath take on headaches first.
Oh. Yeah, because we see a lot of headaches here in the clinic. I don't know how many you see.
We see a lot as well.
In the practice,
And I think that's why, you know, you see a lot of our people, you know, because I think that, you know, structural tension-type headaches are so common. And I think that, you know, is probably just the lifestyle that we lead as far as sitting in front of computers all day, you know, poor posture, and also the other things like not taking care of ourselves, maybe not being as hydrated as you need to be.
Staring down at your phone.
Yeah, and staring down at your phone, right? Exactly. So you know, when we approach a headache many times beyond like referring to you guys, you know, to work on the structural aspect and the lymph flow, which I would love to have you talk more about, We dive in and look at, you know, where is their nutrient need as far as supporting and healing the muscles. So we find a lot of people respond to like high dose magnesium, and so we'll use, you know, for chronic type headaches, including migraines, we'll use like IV vitamin therapy with, you know, the magnesium, and that is somewhere between 3,000 to 4,500 milligrams of magnesium, which is a lot compared to like a capsule of magnesium is 120 milligrams. So we really spike it because we find, you know, and this is in the research too, that people with chronic headaches and migraines have an increased metabolic need actually for magnesium.
Makes sense.
And how that works together with, you know, you have to support the other minerals too, you know, so we add that in, as well as if there's overall just kind of poor diet, you know, nutrient repletion as well, and addressing the diet. So
do you find that when you're dealing with headaches that most of the time when somebody's coming in at that point that it is a chronic condition versus just a headache that has come on and not gone away for days? I mean, that seems probably less likely than a chronic scenario.
I'm so glad you brought that up because actually if, you know, most times it's chronic. Most times people have had that headache for off and on for years, you know, and maybe they're coming in now because it's exacerbated and or it's getting worse. If you never have headaches and all of a sudden you have a searing, unbelievable headache, that's an emergency usually, you know, if it's not normal for you or and then now you have an unbelievable headache, you know, there's usually something else medical going on.
Right, and that's not maybe connected to some particular event that maybe would have caused the headache.
It could be like maybe you got into a car accident and you've slammed your head on something.
Exactly, so that'd be a trigger, right? Or maybe you went out and you drank too much.
Sure.
Right?
So then
you have a headache or the next
Most
day,
people know those headaches.
So that headache is typically just kind of easy cause and effect.
A little bit different than a hangover headache, though.
Like, yeah,
it's searing. Most people know the hangover. You're concerned when you get a searing headache.
True. Without related to after alcohol.
Yeah, so when we look at headaches, then we're kind of looking at intensity and we're looking at duration and kind of the feeling, the type, and then how, if it's reoccurring or not.
Exactly, yeah. And you know, I mean, where it's located, you know, we'll do other therapies like we were discussing before, trigger points, right? So we'll do trigger point therapy, which is, you know, the injection of that. What people mostly know is a knot, you know, we'll inject it with like procaine and B12 and also inject ozone into it, which is a form of oxygen that it's regenerative. So
you look at it primarily as, or initially anyways, as a kind of a nutrient deficiency is kind of one of the first angle that you go down, the first avenue you go down.
Well, we definitely, I always bring in the structural correction first. So, you know, that's why we have a box of the cards from here, because we're like, you know, one, yes, we can replete all these nutrients and we need to, but you've got to get this corrected. Like your alignment is off. And so like an initial visit, we'll check leg length and I can check like rotation of the, you know, neck and the spine. And I can tell because we're trained in that. It's trained enough to go, hey, you're completely out of alignment. You know, you need to go in. So that's a piece I expect them. You know, we don't always, since we don't adjust people at, you know, the practice, we're like, you have to bring this piece in while we do all these other things, you know. And part of that too is with the nutrients coming back to the gut as well, you know, because we're looking at inflammation, right? So if inflammation is being driven by food, that, and maybe it's something like processed diet, you know, but it's, a lot of times it's like a food allergy of some sort too.
That can be contributing.
Yeah, yeah. Like
just that low level inflammation that they're walking around with.
Exactly, yeah. And gluten, I would say gluten and dairy are probably the most common. And that I've seen people where they've had significant like tension type headaches and they take out gluten and they're like, oh, I'm pain free. Look at that. It does happen. So, I mean, that is probably simplifying it, you know, because it doesn't have where that's the only, you're like, you do this one thing and everything is completely
right.
better.
Right. Might be part of the puzzle.
Yeah. Most times it's part of the puzzle. Yeah.
I got like, it. So then when somebody's coming in here, Lee, and maybe they're coming in from a referral from Sage or from somewhere else, right? What, how do we approach it here in the clinic?
Well, just like Dr. Lee was saying, like, I've never seen a headache that didn't have like both a structural and a nutritional component to it. Like, whether that nutrition is like as simple as just drinking more water, right? Like, there's a lot of people that are dehydrated chronically and they don't even realize it. But for us, like, first thing I look at, like, when somebody comes with the headaches is just, I'm looking at the way that their posture is. Like, do they have a big forward like head carriage? Like, is their arch like in their neck or is their chin like facing upward? Like, do they have a lot of spasm going on in the back of their neck that might be compressing like the back of the skull that we call the occiput? There's a lot of nerves back there. So if there's a lot of muscle compression in those areas, it tends to really irritate things and it can lead to that cascade effects that Dr. Yehu was describing. So obviously with me, like, I'm always looking at like the lymph nodes and stuff too. And I'm it sense like that upper cervical, like lower skull portion of the spine is like one of the most mobile aspects. Your body puts a lot of lymph nodes there. So every time we turn, we talk, we chew, all that stuff is supposed to mobilize and stretch and basically contract those muscles and lymphatic tissues. If we're in pain and we're not able to move well, or we can't chew or whatever it is, we're not going to get that motion, and that can lead to a buildup of lactic acid, which can cause more spasm and pain and more issues. And like I said, typically, like, I'm going to attack it from a musculoskeletal standpoint, but oftentimes I send people over to Sage to get like needles done or to get like some of that nutritional component addressed as well. It's usually you need like a group approach to it, unless it's like something minor.
Honestly. Yeah, or maybe causative from, like we said, like a car accident or something, or a fall where there's a specific precipitating event, something that caused it, and that can be corrected and fixed and maybe rehabbed over time.
Yep.
Really, though, when we're looking at that reoccurring situation, if you find yourself in a spot where you're having headaches periodically, then I think your point is such a great point. What about people who have headaches around different like hormonal cycles? So for instance, as a symptom of a PMS type thing, where there's an intense headache maybe associated with that.
Very common.
That's pretty common, right? How do we handle that?
I'll leave that one for Dr. Yeagley.
Yeah.
That one's usually not our wheelhouse.
Yeah. We see that quite often, actually. It's surprising how often women, usually it's women, because it's a combination of estrogen and progesterone, which men really just don't have much of. Mm-hmm. So usually that headache spike is due to an imbalance, either between the hormones or a drop in that estrogen, so right. Which triggers then like a vasospasm, so spasm of the arteries, and that's a trigger for, you know, either just a regular headache or a migraine type headache. And so the goal is really to come back in and balance, you know, the hormones, and there are different ways we do that. So the liver, we don't often think of the liver, you know, you think headache and liver, you know, doesn't quite seem connected, but because the liver processes everything and processes all our hormones and then gets dumped into the gut. So actually we really focus on the liver to move those hormones. And so we might use things like milk thistle or other combinations. The bitter herbs are always really, really good. But then we also will use different types of herbs that actually they're weak binders of the estrogen and progesterone receptors. And just within that, it helps to balance actually the way that then the body responds to all of the levels, you know, of the estrogen. It's not quite such a severe drop whenever we get, you know, around ovulation, or which is mid-cycle, or like getting in close to your period. You know, it's like what happens, you know, of course, if you're having a period, it's because the body knows you're not pregnant, right? So those hormone levels will plummet. And then you get that reaction, right? You get that spasm that's happening of those arteries, and then blood flow dysregulation. And so then that just triggers kind of a cascade of a bunch of different changes.
Right, so that could lead
inflammatory
to
changes.
Yeah. All kinds of pain.
It's,
cramping.
Well, yeah, it's inflammation and spasm. So
that's when the magnesium comes in.
So we do the magnesium. Absolutely. No, we, for the migraines or the hormone-related migraine, so there is actually a treatment. It's a magnesium IV push. Mm-hmm. And it's super intense. I mean, you get very, you know, magnesium really opens everything up. You get very, very flushed, but it can stop like a headache like that in its tracks. It just stops it, which is really cool. So it's fast, right? So, so it's just about balance of those hormones. Sometimes we will also do, like, depending on the woman and where they're at and what their levels look like, we might even do some hormone, like weak estrogen therapy to prevent like such a large drop down of the level of the hormone. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we'll use bioidenticals for that too. And I know, and occasionally a lot of docs will use birth control pills for that. But and sometimes that's easy, right? But not in our perspective, not always ideal.
Yeah. It seems like swatting a fly with a shotgun.
Or
maybe
bit.
You know, it's just that it's a broad kind of a broad approach to maybe something that could use a little bit more precision nutrition and precision science and understanding of that person's specific body and situation. Versus, here's a birth control pill. This should normalize things.
Exactly. Yeah. Because many times we can get all of that under control without ever really needing to prescribe a pill. You know, I would say like 95% of the time we can. So, but, you know, some women choose to do it just because it's convenient. And that's okay. You know, I mean, we have to honor where people are at and what they feel like they can do or want to do. So,
totally.
Yeah.
So when it comes to kind of some at-home stuff that people can look to do, are there any at-home types of approaches, either from a structural standpoint or maybe from a supplement or nutrition standpoint, or things like Epsom salt bath type deal that we can recommend as ways to help curb it that maybe you could do before coming into a clinic and see if that helps?
Yeah, great question. Do you want to start with that one?
I'm always a big fan of the lacrosse ball. So smashing like the suboccipitals, the traps, the pectorals, the biceps, everything that kind of brings you into a rounded position and or causes your neck to crane forward, all those structures are going to be involved in that. So if we can loosen those up, we can ultimately like change the alignment of like our spine and structure just by loosening up those tight muscles. The bones aren't going to move themselves. We have to have tight muscles in order for that to happen. So from a very basic standpoint, loosening up those muscles, which you could do with an Epsom salt bath, you can do with supplementation of those things. I'd be curious if there's any specific types of forms of magnesium and stuff that we'd have to go at, but definitely, like, before you come in here, like, I would definitely stress, like, using your lacrosse ball, trying to break down some of that, those tight spots.
Well, and you guys have a lot of good videos on how to do that, right? On your website, yeah. I've
lots
been given those.
Videos.
Right. Oh, yeah. Amazing
lots of
videos.
Resources.
So the Epsom salt bath, one little tip that I would give is that most people just kind of lightly sprinkle the salts in there. You need to dump that stuff in. You need to float. You need to make it like the salt, Salt Lake City, like, you know, like it needs to be put like 5 or 6 cups of that stuff in there because it will absorb through your skin and you need about 10 minutes.
Five or six cups.
Yes. Yes.
So half a bag.
Yeah, you're going to go through, you're going to rack up an Epsom
salt
bill.
You they're not expensive.
You can buy some Dr. Teal stuff.
Yeah. Costco has giant bags. You just get, like, they do. You get the gallons size bag.
Really? At Costco?
Costco has,
at the Shoreline Costco.
I believe I haven't. Somebody told me that.
Like,
it was
okay,
there.
And like over in the section where like the toothbrush, like toothpaste are and stuff. Like,
see that I'm not sure. I've just been told that it's
okay,
there.
Okay, because I like know my Costco. Like yeah. I am like a Costco fiend. I like stock down aisles. I pick things up. I look at stuff. I memorize everything in my Costco.
And it's not showing up in your.
It's not. I just tried to pull it up on my visual map, and it's not. It's not there.
We're gonna look it up after.
I'm gonna check next time I'm at Costco because that would be sweet because we do a lot of Epsom.
That's what I've heard. That it's giant thing of it is there.
But that's a lot. I mean, 5 or 6 cups. That's
and I think that's why people many times don't think that it works as well as it could. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, I kind of took a bath and it was fine. And maybe it helped a little bit. But if you really dump that stuff in there, it will go through your skin. And you'll get a really good treatment of magnesium. Mm-hmm. So you asked about forms, and there are definitely forms of magnesium that are better than others. So what you want for tight muscles, you want to avoid like magnesium oxide, magnesium sulfate, magnesium carbonate. That's essentially, a lot of those are just like chalk, you know, so they're great if you're constipated because they're just going to stay in your gut so and make you poop.
Flush it right out.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you'll get a little bit, but it's not really an effective treatment. So you want like magnesium citrate, magnesium malate, or acetromate, the combination, or you want magnesium glycinate. Glycinate is really nice because it's also very calming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there's any like little, you know, anxiety that pops up with being in pain, which does happen for some people, then just really loading up on that magnesium glycinate can really help. Just, okay, not only is my spasm better, but I feel calmer.
Is it something you can take like orally? Or
yeah,
is that
one's those are all oral. So the ones to do are the magnesium glycinate, citrate, citrate, or malate.
What about threonate?
Yeah, threonate is great actually for more neurological.
So like sleep and stuff, that's what I've seen it used for. But.
Yeah, you can do it. They're all good. They can't, especially the more absorbable ones are good for sleep. But threonate actually we use a lot for like post-concussion and brain injury.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a more expensive one, actually. It's quite a bit.
Well, if you got a brain injury, it's probably worth it.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So. Yeah, or so neurological type involvement, but which would be nerve pain too, right?
Cool.
Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you.
In the case that a person had headaches and they kind of went through a variety of different processes and practices that we pushed them through and they were still having headaches, is that kind of when you would look at neurological tests, like some imaging and start to kind of go down that route of maybe a little bit more.
To see if something else is going on.
Yeah, so you see what else is going on.
Yeah, like if you have chronic pain that is really unrelieved by anything that you're doing and it's worsening or it's something that it's present nonstop, you know, it just does not go away. Then there is some concern that, you know, there is something maybe else going on that's maybe putting pressure on
totally.
The brain. Yeah.
I feel like sometimes people jump to that conclusion and that
with
level
Google
of testing.
Doc.
Google Doc, you know, I mean, you start with, I have a headache. Oh my God, the third headache I've had. And it really quickly goes.
I have
into
a brain
like tumor.
Yes.
Yeah. It totally goes right to the end of the train.
Definitely
luckily
those
are rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, totally. And I mean, that might be the case, but like what's great news is there's a variety of things you can go through before that to kind of could help actually provide a lot of relief and that you should do and we recommend doing before you jump into neurological testing per se.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. But definitely be your own advocate if you feel like, you know, it's something that's not changing or you feel like it's getting worse. And, you know, because not everybody, of course, is seeing us to have somebody dive in super deep on things. And so.
Yeah, it's easy to dismiss sometimes bigger problems as little problems too. That can go that way as well.
Yeah, yeah. Or if they're only getting a few minutes with their primary and they're like, I have a headache. They're like, good, take some Advil.
That's another question I want to ask. When should you have like an alarm kind of bell go off for like taking Advil or Tylenol for a headache type scenario? You know, I mean, if it's you find, I need to take Tylenol, you know, once a month, no big deal, or every couple weeks, or is there a triggering factor there that's like, you should definitely get this checked out because you're probably in a situation where you're kind of medicating this and there's other solutions.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, if you're more than, I mean, even every couple of weeks, you really should be.
That would be a trigger
someone.
For you. That would kind of think like, oh, that sounds like that's not normal. You shouldn't really be having to take Tylenol or Advil or something that frequently.
Exactly.
I would
say
any headache's normal, to be honest.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Like you live most of your life without a headache. So if you get one, there's something's going on.
Right.
Yeah. It's just whether or not it's a severe issue or it's just something that's repetitive.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
As always, you know, part of it is being a little bit of a Sherlock Holmes and figuring out what's actually going on, and if it's a one-time thing versus a recurring thing, then what's the causative factor? And that can be hard to do by yourself. And that's why we love to have a team here.
Absolutely.
Team is
a
good.
Tribe of doctors.
Yes.
Well, guys, thank you. I appreciate you being here. I love the insight into headaches. And now I know what to do next time I have one that won't go away. I know who to call.
Please do.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.